Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Greetings, Free Talk Live listeners nationwide and online. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, here to begin our new connection of our Liberty Conspiracy and Free Talk Live Fridays. Get ready for this hour. White House says Israel will continue to kill innocent civilians in Gaza. And this is where we're going to be going in just a minute to John Kirby. White House National Security spokesman John Kirby said Tuesday that Israel will continue to hurt innocent civilians in its onslaught on Gaza. This is war. This is combat. This is bloody, ugly. This is his excuse, by the way. When someone asked him a question about the innocents, this is his response. When he was asked if the U.S. thought Israel's bombardment was a disproportionate response to the Hamas attack on southern Israel, his response was, "Oh, we don't have any control over that. This is war. This is combat, collateral damage. It's bloody, ugly. You got to expect this." And again, this is the point. Even if you are an observer watching the Siamese fighting fish go after each other inside that fish tank, you don't have to be the one who helps handle the fish tank. You don't have to make it part of your possession. You don't have to add more Siamese fighting fish to it. You don't have to say, "I am part of that." And you certainly don't have to include somebody else and throw him in there with them. That's the point. That is the point. He says, "I wish I could tell you something different and wish that there was going to be, that this wasn't going to happen, but it's going to happen, and that doesn't make it right, doesn't make it dismissible. Mr. Kirby, you're supplying weapons to make it happen." That's the point. That's the question. That's why there's a big problem with this. So let's watch John Kirby via C-SPAN. I've got it queued up, folks. Here comes the first question out of the gate to John Kirby. We're going to watch portions of this. Stop it. Get your opinions like it's a classroom. You and I are all hanging out. Sometimes we're the teacher. Sometimes we're the student. We'll go back and forth on this. Here we go. Check it out.
And then we're excited about it.
Thank you, Admiral. French President Emmanuel Macron called today for Hamas to be added to the targets of the US-led coalition fighting the Islamic State group. Is that something that the White House would support?
Well, we're just aware of these reports coming out from the LSA. I would say, first and foremost, we're focused on helping Israel go after Hamas right now, making sure they got the capabilities, the security systems to go after Hamas.
So he's not answering the question. He's delaying an answer on the question. Are you going to expand this? Are you going to back the expansion? And, of course, continue to fund this expansion?
And we're certainly in discussions with our allies and partners, as you know, President
More
Macron.
Delay. We're talking about it. You're not answering the question, John.
Was on the call, actually two calls that the president has had with European leaders in just the last several days, and we'll continue those consultations.
Okay, so I'm not going to answer your question.
Okay, thank you. I have two questions. Amnesty International said that they found evidence that Israel used white phosphorus in Gaza. Any confirmation from the U.S. on this?
She says evidence of the use of white phosphorus by Israelis, which we know has been documented in the past, going back 4 years. And so she says, any comment about this?
I cannot confirm that.
Can't confirm.
Just now, as you know, the UN Security Council had a meeting. The Arab groups condemned killing civilians, but also said that we should support a peace process instead of sending weapons to Israel if we want to support Israel. Do you envisage a scenario whereby the hostages will be released, Hamas will be disarmed, and some kind of international conference will take place soon?
I couldn't begin to speculate on that. Those are potential steps that haven't happened yet and may not happen. All I can tell you is we're going to continue to make sure Israel has the tools and the capabilities that they need to defend themselves.
Again, okay, so we stop right there because this is the White House National Security Council Strategic Communications Coordinator, John Kirby, right? So he swears an oath to the Constitution, as you know, and what he just said there is patently, ridiculously, inflammatorily unconstitutional. And some of the reporters might ask him just once, can you cite for me the enumerated passage of the Constitution that grants you the so-called power to do this? We're not even going to go into whether you think that this piece of paper gives you moral power over other people to make them fund the construction and dissemination of these machines of death. We won't even discuss the immorality of that. Let's just talk about the little game you tell us you're going to play when you sign on to that rule book, because it's not in there. And then she says, do you foresee a time when this can happen? Well, we are not really sure about that, but we're sure as heck going to keep funneling weapons of death. Doesn't matter. We're just going to do it. Unbelievable.
We're going to continue to try to get that humanitarian assistance in. We're going to continue to try to get hostages and people out of Gaza appropriately. And as I think you've heard.
As you know, it's very clear the indiscriminate bombing is such that the Israelis have clearly sent a message that hostage taking will not see a decrease in firing. It will not see any discrimination about firing. They're carpet bombing the place, and they don't care whether they kill civilians. But again, the point about this is, even if someone were to say, well, there is some sort of argument somehow that can be made that, well, we've got to do this so that we can protect future people. It's utterly absurd. It's utterly absurd. It's a consequentialist, immoral philosophy to say, well, some abstract people in the future will be protected by us slaughtering also the people that they held hostage. And it's really on their hands that we're taking the action to now go after them and, yes, kill the hostages. They've put them in front of themselves, so there's nothing we can do about it in our defense. That's not really a good defense. But the key, as I've mentioned, is not whether those people are making that decision. They're making the decision that you are implicated in their decision. The one thing, and again, I stress this, the one thing that a moral person who might be confused about that first portion of it can actually say in a very comfortable way, and you don't have to think too hard about it, John Kirby, is, you know what, John? I think it would be really cool if, as you guys all tried to figure out if it was okay to put the hostages at risk and innocent civilians who might have been, pushed in amongst the so-called terrorists in Hamas that have formerly been called the government of the Palestinians under the push by the Israelis to help them become the government, under the push by people like George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden to support Hamas as the government of the Palestinians in Gaza. So now, evidently, you secretly thought that they were terrorists, which is part of the reason why you wanted them to be there, so that they would be a cold front with whom the Israelis couldn't negotiate, so the Israelis could constantly use them in brickbats to say, they're our enemies, we can't negotiate, so we're just going to have to push against them. Which did what? It pushed them in amongst all of the civilians. Now, it's possible that they would be hiding amongst the civilians, but this is inevitable. It's virtually impossible to distinguish between civilians and the terrorists they're searching for, right? The people who attacked. And you're not saying whether or not those people were prodded to act in the way that they acted because of prior actions against innocent civilians done by the Israelis. And you can go back and forth and back and forth, as I mentioned, all the way back to the plots in the 1840s to establish a Zionist state in that area. And if you want to use the Bible, then you can go all the way back to the Canaanites and ask Ben Shapiro, who doesn't believe that God helped Moses in the situation of the parting of the Red Seas. You can ask Ben Shapiro if, in that case, the Israelis should not be there and the Canaanites should be there. But this is the key, the moral principle of not involving someone who shouldn't have to be involved in deciding whether to put innocent people at risk to get the alleged terrorists, the people who should be targeted, arrested, and tried. And again, they call them terrorists. Unless they emblematically are wearing something, how do you know? Unless they say, I am part of that group, how do you know they're terrorists? What if somebody's got a gun for self-defense and an Israeli soldier sees that person and says, terrorist? What if they've never been involved in terrorism? We don't know, right? That's what the whole judicial process is about. But the whole thing falls apart. And it gets worse and worse and worse as these people funnel weapons to them. And they make excuses for the deaths of civilians to which we're now connected. They tie us into it. Well, we don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to keep you forced to be attached to it. You don't have to attach me to killing those innocent kids who were standing in front of the terrorists. The terrorists are standing behind them. I don't have to be involved with that. Please leave me all out of it.
Or to say a ceasefire right now really only benefits Hamas. That's where we are.
Again, this is the thing that we've heard. Grace Curley said it. People at ADL are saying it. They're always constantly, it seems universally, saying that a ceasefire would see an existential threat to Israel. No, you know what's going to be an existential threat to Israel? What's going to be an existential threat to Israel is going to be something like what Douglas McGregor described. Them going in, continuing to carpet bomb the place with weapons that the United States helps provide, with potentially tens of billions of dollars next year providing in weapons that the Biden administration wants, in addition to more tens of billions of dollars and that $106 billion package that they want for Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel. And, of course, it's going to be probably passed very easily because Israel is part of that package. But McGregor says what you're doing is making this an existential threat for Israel. And it's going to become an existential threat for virtually everybody because it's going to turn into a world war. Because if Israel continues to push in and doesn't bring about a ceasefire, then rather than what you think, Mr. Kirby, by having a ceasefire, somehow Hezbollah and Iran and Lebanon, they're all going to come down and descend on Israel. No, what's going to happen is by not cease firing, they're going to drive more and more refugees to the Egyptian border, which they can't get out. They're going to wipe out more civilians, and Hezbollah and the Lebanese and Iran potentially are going to be really in a big quagmire. And I think what might happen is someone's going to start attacking Israel. There could even be a false flag. You could see something happen in Syria, see Syria get involved. And then from that point on, those two aircraft carrier groups that the United States sent over for some reason, the CIA advisors that are on the ground, the troops that are on the ground, and Kirby will acknowledge that U.S. troops have been killed on the ground in Israel. You know, because it's constitutional? Oh, no, it's not. That's right. There's no declaration of war. They're not supposed to be out there. They're not even supposed to be called up. The militias members are supposed to be in their states. That's where they're supposed to be unless they're called up during a declaration of war. It's in the Constitution. I'll read you the California Constitution text probably tomorrow night. I mentioned it last night, and I'll put it out for you tomorrow. So we got so much stuff to cover. We'll get to the California thing. I think you'll really dig it, not to be a tease, but I think you'll really find it very valuable to see the way that the perspective on the U.S. military has been warped and what the original perspective was, which I think you can assume. But seeing it in text is really valuable. It really lets you see that you're walking through the graveyard of all of the constitutional provisions that supposedly were put up. There's a tombstone for the Fourth Amendment. There's a tombstone for the Declaration of War. We're walking through a gray landscape. And unfortunately, the ghosts of the founding fathers are speaking to us. It's very, very sad. So continuing with Mr. Kirby, the ghost of what? I don't know.
Right now, and I understand the question, but I'm just not going to get ahead of where things are.
So there's no scenario to avoid, to avert the war now. That was my point. There's no other scenario to avoid, to avert.
There's already combat between Israel and Hamas. If what you're saying, to avert a ground incursion, that is a question for the Israeli Defense Forces. They get to make the decisions about what operations they're going to conduct or not.
So there you go. Again, I know it's repetitive. George W. Bush said it. We got to do it. We got to give them everything they need. And he's saying essentially, we give them all the toys. They can do whatever the heck they want. I mean, it's just the absolute utter disrespect for you. It blows my mind. It's amazing. Absolutely incredible. Just, you know, can you imagine? Oh, I don't know. Say, a group of malicious, dangerous people gathering up something deadly and saying, we know that there are a bunch of other people who are incentivized and driven, let's say some poison, to go in and give this poison to people because they think that it's going to help. Whatever the future is going to be. Can you imagine allowing those people to do that? Oh, that's right. You know what I'm talking about. The jabs. Let's continue with Mr. Kirby.
We don't believe that a ceasefire right now we would believe that a ceasefire right now is only going to benefit Hamas.
Okay, we'll continue. Watch this one. This is probably the last one, I think, before we have to head out and hit on another big thing, because it's all tied together.
There's some reporting overnight that the U.S. is planning for mass evacuations of Americans if the war were to spread. Can you kind of give context to...
So they're talking about mass evacuations of Americans if the war were to spread, right?
How likely you guys are viewing that scenario and whether this is... very top-level planning, or if there's some sort of granular detail that you guys are going into on this effort?
I won't go into granular detail on operational planning one way or another, but it would be imprudent and irresponsible if we didn't have folks thinking through a broad range of contingencies and possibilities, and certainly evacuations are one of those things. I mean, there's not a place in the world where the Pentagon doesn't have contingency plans on the shelf, may need updating, but have them on the shelf to help with the evacuation of American citizens. And given what's...
Again, there, okay. This is ridiculous. There is nothing in the Constitution that allows for that. If you're going to some foreign country, you're going yourself. I shouldn't be forced to protect you. That's the way it works. Now, if there is a group of people who go after you and that foreign nation state isn't doing anything for extradition, that's a different story. Then they can call up letters of marque and reprisal, and the president can hire mercenaries to go after those bad guys. But to have the contingencies for evacuation for everybody is ridiculous. But, you know, that's the government. So what can you do? Here we go.
Going on in the Middle East right now, I think it's perfectly reasonable. I think it would be imprudent and irresponsible if we weren't doing some kind of contingency thinking. But we're not at a point of execution right now, and there are still plenty of opportunities. For instance, even in Israel, for people to get out, we're still doing contract charter flights, and there's still commercial flights going in and out of Ben Gurion. And frankly, the demand signal for our contract charter flights hasn't been very high. They're still going, but they're not all filled. And the same could be said for places like Lebanon. But each country is different, and the threats and challenges in each will change over time. And we're doing all the right prudent thinking that you would expect us to.
I know that you've thanked Qatar for its role in the secure the release of some of the hostages so far. But I was wondering if the U.S. believes that Qatar should expel the Hamas leaders that are in the country right now.
I don't think...
There it is. That's the one. So we're just going to go back a second here. Check this out. This is very valuable, very revealing about how they really feel about Hamas and Qatar and Israel and the civilians.
Try to release some of the hostages so far, but I was wondering if the U.S. believes that Qatar should expel the Hamas leaders that are in the country right now.
I don't think, I'll just say we're having conversations with partners across the region, and we know that Qatar has an open line of communication with Hamas, and as you saw...
No. It's more than that. Qatar has been cited in giving aid to Hamas the way that the United States was ready to, again, give aid to Hamas, the way the Israeli government gave aid to Hamas, the way the U.S. government formerly gave aid to Hamas. So John Kirby isn't giving all the information about Qatar's relationship with Hamas, is he? Clearly he's not. So when you have a guy answering questions in that way, where he doesn't provide complete information about the ties between the government of Qatar and Hamas, and yet they're all talking about terrorism and terrorism, I thought, if you weren't with us, you're with the terrorists, right? I thought it was bad to support and harbor terrorists. And yet, the nation state of Qatar is getting it out from the nation state of the United States, which is so concerned about Israelis, right? Sure.
Partners across the region, and we know that Qatar has an open line of communication with Hamas. And as you saw, we thank Qatar for their support in helping get those two Americans out. I would just say that those discussions and those conversations are ongoing and critically important. And I think I need to leave it at that.
Thanks, Admiral. Former President Obama shared some of his views about the conflict yesterday. One of the things he said was that the Israelis haven't done enough to avoid killing or injuring civilians as they seek to take out Hamas in Gaza. Does President Biden share that view?
President Biden has, since the very beginning of this conversation, been talking to the Prime Minister, and we have been talking to Israelis at various levels, at the cabinet level and below, about what separates us from Hamas as two democracies, and that's respect for human life. That's abiding by the law of war. That's by doing...
They bandy the rhetoric around so much. We'll be back with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. It's great to be with you.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Authorities in Maine still in pursuit of a suspected mass shooter. Mike Soschuk, commissioner of the Maine Department of Safety, said when that shooting happened, the police responded quickly.
Spare time, a minute after those initial officers respond, eight more are there. Now we're saying now everybody's starting to roll in about the same time.
The identities of all the victims have been confirmed. Among them, the youngest, 14, while the oldest was 76. Donald Trump and his three adult children are slated to give testimony in his New York civil fraud trial. Donald Trump Jr. is set to testify on November 1st, followed by Eric and Ivanka Trump. The former president is scheduled to testify on November 6th. Rising inflation is casting a spooky spell on Halloween, causing a 7% surge in celebration costs this year. That's according to a study by MoneyGeek. The main contributor to the increase is the higher prices of candy. John Schaefer, USA News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen
Come
here.
Come on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, Mimi. Such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop this senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Welcome, fellow conspirators for freedom. I'm Gardner Goldsmith, and this is the Liberty Conspiracy, because freedom is out of fashion nowadays. Connecting with Free Talk Live, we invite you to listen and to join us live for Liberty Conspiracy every Monday through Friday at Rumble and Rock Band. You can always find our audios after the fact. To talk about the manipulation of the message. So, in order to go back to the war machine, I want to go back to John Kirby's appearance at the White House and point something out to you. So, I want to go back here to these questioners and just make sure that I play this right. Okay, here we go. This is that man who asked about people on the ground, soldiers, things like that. We already got the fatuous way that John Kirby answered these questions about the civilians. Just incredible stuff. Now you got to break some eggs, essentially, is what he's saying. Sort of like Stalin, like Lenin, right? Here's a little more, because this is, I think, very key, and it brings us a larger lesson, not about the immediate, not necessarily about the immediate thing, but it's universal. It's long-term intellectual ammunition. I think I got it cued right. Here we go.
We haven't seen any trucks go in. We'll see what the hours to come bring.
One quick follow-up account on a separate topic here. Broadly speaking, we know the Israeli war cabinet has been meeting with the prime minister, the president, and others have spoken to members of that cabinet often, the president and Netanyahu often. Is the president confident that the Israeli war cabinet, led by the prime minister Benjamin Netanyahu, will do the right thing as he views it in carrying out this war?
He is confident that we are going to keep doing what we need to do to get Israel the capabilities that it needs. The war cabinet can speak for themselves. Prime Minister Netanyahu can speak for his government.
But we cannot hear you saying that he has confidence in Netanyahu and that war cabinet to lead this war effort to the U.S.
It's not our place to decide the competency of the unity government that Prime Minister Netanyahu put in place. That's for him to speak to and for his cabinet officials. The president left Tel Aviv confident that he had the opportunity to be candid and forthright with Prime Minister Netanyahu privately and with the war cabinet writ large, and that he had the opportunity to ask them the hard questions that he wants them to be asking themselves before they start some sort of major ground offensive.
Thank you. I wanted to get a sense. There have been a spate of attacks on U.S. forces in the region, and can you characterize the threat that the U.S. faces in the region right now as Israel poises itself to invade Gaza? And then I have a question about Australia.
We remain deeply concerned by the potential for future attacks on our troops. As you're right, we've seen, and I'm guesstimating here, but it's about a dozen over the last several days. And as a result, tragically, one U.S. contractor died as a result of a heart attack from sheltering.
U.S. contractor died from sheltering. So it wasn't 12. I hope I didn't misspeak there. They have 12 reports, and one man has died. He's a contractor. Don't forget, he's a contractor using your tax money. But watch this next bit. This is where the lesson comes in. Wait till we draw this out. I think you'll find it interesting. I hope you find it interesting and worthwhile. And I think it will stand as good intellectual ammo.
So it's potentially a dangerous environment, and we're taking it very, very seriously. Our commanders on the ground have the right to defend themselves and their troops and can take the appropriate and are taking the appropriate force protection measures.
Okay, let's stop it right there. So, immediately, I think that's such an easy thing to accept. Our commanders on the ground. First of all, there's that question of why are you saying our commanders and why that ground? Because that's immoral, forcibly inclusive, our, you're part of it. And on what ground? Oh, that ground over there where there's no declared war, so they're not supposed to be there. Second, and this is the one that slips by people a lot. As as uncomfortable as it might make people feel, his statement about they have the right to defend themselves actually doesn't apply to what's really going on. And the reason it doesn't is because as individuals, we all have the right to defend ourselves, right? The question is, if you are the recipient of stolen goods and arms and ammunition that you didn't buy, but that got purchased and made through criminal activity, do you then have a right to use those things to defend yourself? Or are you the recipient of stolen goods and a criminal, holding something that doesn't belong to you? Your right to self-defense does not include being able to take somebody else's knife away from him, because you're harming his ability to defend himself. You have engaged in aggression against him. Those soldiers on the ground have rights to defend themselves with their own weapons, with their own fists, with stones and rocks, whatever they can acquire themselves through their own moral action. They do not have any right to defend themselves through items that were acquired through criminal means. People don't go to the end of the logic chain here, because oftentimes they accept this statist terminology, this they're on the team and they're there, so they're doing the work of the team. So the least we can do is allow them to defend themselves. So, again, we can ask this question. If they don't have sufficient means to defend themselves through what the government has given them, these soldiers, then what will the government, what is it going to do in order to give them more? In what will it engage? There you go. So they don't have the right to, they're not defending themselves with any sort of application of natural rights by using the arms that were acquired illegitimately. They are the recipients of stolen goods, and if they don't have enough from those stolen goods, then we can see what the process actually is even more clearly, with greater stark clarity. Let me know if you think I'm right. Rockfin, Rumble, thanks for the chat, y'all. Good to have you there, everybody. Now let's check out what you've got to say. Over at Rumble, Audi says Reagan sucked. The deficit tripled on his watch. Absolutely. He was in favor of full amnesty for illegal aliens and the no liability protection of VAX manufacturers happened during his administration. That VAX thing, so important for people to remember. He didn't have control of a lot of his guys either. It was just so massive. It's ridiculous. Let's head over to Rumble and see what's happening in Rumble. Hey, thanks for being there, Rogue Statesman. He came over because Rockfin was freezing up on him. Thanks. And Freakin's there. Very good. All right, everybody. We've got that, hopefully, lesson that I think is worthwhile. This statement that the soldiers over there, even if they were there under a constitutionally declared war, that they have the right to defend themselves. Yes, they have the right to defend themselves, but we have to understand what is actually them defending themselves versus being the recipient of criminally acquired goods. You know, a mafioso who's buying guns with or stealing somebody's handgun from their house, he doesn't have a right to use that gun to defend himself, especially if he's going into another person's house and that person's trying to defend himself, right? Or he's walking into a conflict between two long battling mafioso families, right? And I won't say that it's completely analogous here. I want to show you some very, very good stuff from Russell Brand. This is a break away from, a slight turn from what we've been discussing about speech, the Epoch Times work, Matt Taibbi's work, NewsGuard, and the rhetoric of Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and John Kirby. And now I want to show you a different dimension of it to show you how that money also, and I mentioned some of these advisors, how that money also gets funneled or the ideologies also pop up out on pop media. And they come thanks to the amazing government-funded military contractors, just like we saw from pharma. Here's Russell Brand from today. Can't show you all of it, but I think you'll dig it. Here we go.
The horrific and escalating conflict in the Middle East continues to claim more human lives. So who do the legacy media turn to get an unbiased perspective on that? Those patriots who have undisclosed ties to the military-industrial complex who will profit from this war. We need truth now more than ever, or at least as close as we can get to unbiased reporting. Like right now, for example, let me tell you plainly, I do not profit from Raytheon or Lockheed Martin's actions. So when I talk about this horrific escalating conflict, the loss of human lives across the spectrum, the tragedy for people, no matter what your religious or spiritual alliances are, you know that I'm not making any money selling missiles. And I think that gives me a degree of clarity that none of the people you're about to see that the legacy media turn to are able to offer you. Have a look at this montage. Each one of these apparent experts has a tie to either Raytheon or Lockheed Martin or someone else. They don't declare that. And when the legacy media are saying, what should we do? And do you think the solution to this problem should involve expensive artillery and weapons? They usually say, yeah, I think it should. And you don't have any personal investment in that, do you? Oh, they literally do. Have a look.
Jeremy, I thought this might be the most significant foreign trip by a U.S. president.
I want to bring in Leon Panetta, formerly the U.S. Secretary of Defense under President Obama.
Ambassador Dennis Ross, former special envoy to the Middle East.
Former CIA Director John Brennan, you've worked in national security, you've worked in the field.
You'll notice that none of those people disclose their ties to those military-industrial complex companies that take 50% of your tax dollar defense budget. Let's get into this in a little more depth. The world went witnessed the modern high point of the American presidency when President Joe Biden visited and spoke in Israel on October 18th. At least that was the take offered by Jeremy Bash, national security analyst for the liberal cable news network MSNBC. It was absolutely the finest hour by any president I've seen in a long, long time, Bash said Wednesday on the show Deadline White House. Next, he suggested that Hamas may have directly targeted the Al-Ali Arab Hospital in the Gaza Strip, where an explosion killed hundreds of Palestinians last week. I wouldn't put it past them, given what their record is and their use of human shields, he said. As of now, experts are still trying to determine responsibility for the bombing. You are aware that this is perhaps the most contentious conflict in the world, maybe in world history. And uniquely at this time, it's come into a kind of conversational global crisis where people are unable to communicate openly without feeling the pressure to take sides. Even making this content now, I know that some of you will want absolute support for Israel, others will want absolute support for Palestine. It's very difficult for us to offer you a take that's about the American military-industrial complex profiting from this conflict, potentially escalating this conflict, not because it's best for humanitarian reasons, patriotic reasons, reasons of alliance, the future of the Middle East, support for Israel, the best thing to do for the people of Gaza. No, what's possibly motivating a significant portion of the trajectory and agenda around how to handle this conflict are undisclosed ties to military-industrial complex organizations. And if that's not part of the story, why are each of these pundits, when they're on legacy media, not saying, I should tell you first of all, I work with Raytheon. I should tell you first of all, I work with Lockheed Martin. This conflict is complicated enough where everyone on social media feels a pressure to say, I stand with X or I am against Y. And actually, really, the truth is we are all human beings. And if there's one thing we can extract from this, shouldn't it be anybody profiting from this situation? A single missile being launched with the motivation being anything other than, well, this is what's best for world peace. This is what's best for the people of either this side or that side. It is so complicated. And across social media spaces, you will find people powerfully advocating for either side. You will find incredible pressure. Let me know if you feel it too, to find a fealty, a strong sense of alliance with this side or that side. What we feel obliged to do, because we are really interested in finding a way out of this devastating, terrible conflict that is claiming human lives, children being lost, devastation, murder, mayhem, whoever you are, wherever your alliance is, we feel that one thing we could do is look at people that claim to be speaking rationally when in fact they are advocating for profiteering without even disclosing it. The legacy media should not be showcasing the voices of Raytheon and Lockheed Martin without telling you plainly that's what they're doing. I would say more important than their opinion on how this crisis should be handled is what their relationship is with the Raytheon and Lockheed Martin, considering that these organizations spend millions lobbying and earn billions bombing. At no point did MSNBC mention that Bash, who served as chief of staff at the Central Intelligence Agency in the Department of Defense in the Obama administration, leads a consulting firm that has reportedly worked for defense contracting giant Raytheon, which supplies missiles for Israel's Iron Dome defense system. Remember, if you have a strong affiliation to Israel, if you are Israeli, if you are Jewish, I am not saying that you don't have the right to your emotional experience right now. Who the hell am I to comment on that? Where I do feel qualified to pontificate is, should Jeremy Bash, former CIA head, current member of consulting firm that reportedly works with Raytheon, be pretending to be, well, not even neutral, offering advocacy without declaring profiteering, which I think, if you take away your personal alliances, has informed almost every conflict in the last 100 years, and perhaps is the primary motivation for all wars. There is enough historic complexity in that region without the intercession of profiteering, without a legacy media not declaring their true motivation, true alliances, and where they're getting their information from. The episode is part of a broader recurring pattern in corporate TV news. In recent weeks, MSNBC, NBC, CNN, and Fox News have regularly invited on former defense officials turned industry consultants to explain the conflict between Israel and Palestine without ever mentioning to viewers that these analysts may represent clients with a financial stake in matters being discussed. Wouldn't you want to know if you were being offered a solution to a problem that the person that's offering you that solution has a vested interest interest in a particular outcome.
If you have three Pepsis and drink one, how much more refreshed are you?
Pepsi?
Partial credit.
Doesn't it make you consider more broadly that America's role in the world is supplying weapons, often to both sides of a conflict, that you have people in Congress investing in weapons firms during this conflict? The legacy media have people that work for weapons firms talking to you during the conflict. Do you think that's helping us to get an unbiased assessment? As we try to tiptoe through this tragedy, good lives are being lost continually, unnecessarily. Certainly, it doesn't appear to be leading to a solution, one might argue. Don't you want to ensure that the information you're getting is the best possible information from the best possible people? How else are we ever going to achieve anything other than endless ongoing war? Endless ongoing war. I wonder if anyone would benefit from an endless ongoing war. I wonder if our intensity and willingness to take sides would benefit any of these interests that sell arms all around the world, often to both sides, turn up on your TV set advocating for war without declaring those investments, have a Congress full of people that are supposed to be representing you while investing in those weapons companies, having accepted lobbying money from those weapons companies while they work within a party that accepts donations from those weapons companies. That seems to me like a 360 dome that's worth interrogating. In the days after Hamas's attack on Israel, MSNBC had for a moment quietly taken three of its Muslim broadcasters out of the anchor's chair since Hamas's attack on Israel, according to the online news outlet Semaphore. By contrast, the network has repeatedly brought on Bash, whom Biden last year appointed to an intelligence advisory board to contextualize the ongoing war to viewers. Here's some context. Wars are actually quite a good thing. What about these dead Israeli babies and these dead Palestinian babies? That's all bad, and you can decide which ones are worse for yourself. But what I will tell you is, look at my stocks and shares. Isn't that going to cheer you up? Trying to cheer up. I keep looking at the dead babies. Look at the stocks and shares. The dead babies. It's a haunting image. We shouldn't have showed you those dead babies. Is there any particular type of dead baby that would cheer you up while I focus on my stocks and shares? I suppose I've been programmed to appreciate these dead babies more. Oh. Focus on that then, because I make money either way. Bash isn't the only defense industry consultant being invited on TV to explain the conflict between Israel and Palestine. I mean, one's already bad, isn't it? You want no one. This is so difficult, isn't it? It's so complicated. Can we just have no one who's making any money from this involved in the reporting? No, we're going to have several. The networks have also been calling on some of Bash's colleagues at the Washington, D.C.-based consultant firm Beacon Global Strategies, where he is a managing director and partner. On a personal note, I feel so somewhat offended that the mainstream media feel entitled to conduct moral witch hunts when in their own reporting and investigating, this is how they actually behave. While Beacon does not disclose its clients, the firm has worked with Raytheon as well as the Israeli surveillance firm NSO Group, according to a report from the New York Times. We can't continue to bring you complex and hopefully enjoyable, let me know in the chat, content like this without our supporters. And what incredible supporters we have. We love you and we love them. We need all of you. Sap123.com made this thing. And thankfully with this little guy, we could all stay connected together, potentially forever, because...
Right, so obviously he's going to go through his ad and so on and so forth. Just going to go ahead a little bit here, because I wanted to see some more from Jacobin, because it's a very left-wing group, and I know some people, you know, Russell Brand, he hasn't explicitly come out as a Christian, although recently I've been hearing him speak a lot more about Christ as his Lord and Savior, which is very interesting. And, you know, his old tattoos and stuff like that from his wild days and his background and his life, that he's really, really turned around a lot. But the stuff he says so often, he's really fighting on the good side, and I want to get this information out, and I want to give him the benefit of the doubt in so many cases. So I want to continue here with the Jacobin piece, and then show you something else that I put together probably over a year ago that I think you might find interesting, coordinating with Jimmy Dore's people. Not coordinating, but working off them, bouncing off of them.
Leon Panetta, who served as CIA director, served as a top... Okay, let's get back to this complex content. On October the 12th, Fox News interviewed Beacon managing director and partner Michael Allen, who served as a top National Security Council official under President George W. Bush. CNN also interviewed Beacon senior counselor Leon Panetta, who served as CIA director and Secretary of Defense under President Barack Obama. While we are all good as tribalized creatures with a deep, long history, perhaps longer than we ever imagined or history reports, have lived engaged with natural alliances with groups that we feel affiliation because our survival and their survival are completely entwined. It's clear from that little list that whether you're Republican or Democrat, pro-Bush or pro-Obama, left or right, there's a little group of intersecting, crossing over folks making a lot of money and making a lot of noise, generally advocating for further conflict on either and both sides, porously moving between media, defense, government, corporatization, effortlessly and endlessly. Meanwhile, down here in the dirge, we all sort of wave flags and squabble with one another about particular advocacy. And as I've said many times, I understand that if you are personally affected by this, of course, I'm in no position to judge your alliances. I wouldn't dream of it. But surely we can agree that having a system where people profiteer and sit in different chairs, in different hats, advocating usually for more war and more expenditure isn't the best way to solve these heartbreaking global problems. Neither Fox nor CNN noted it was interviewing executives at Beacon and chose only to identify them by their former government title.
All right. So with that stated, let's take the opportunity to go over to a video that I put together back in, when was it? May 24th of 2022. You can find this on the BitChute Liberty Conspiracy channel, which doesn't have all the videos over there, but it has a lot. And you can check that out because it starts off with some good stuff from Jimmy Dore, and then which they got from a friend of theirs. A comedian who put together some of these connections. Here we go.
So Matt Orfila, friend of the show, Matt Orfila, now works with Matt Taibbi, and he put together this fantastic video. Let's watch it.
So can the U.S. deliver the heavy weapons? The U.S. has contributed, I think, nearly $2 billion in aid militarily, economic, since this war began. Can the U.S. be doing more?
The most important thing right now is the weapon systems, the weapons they need. They need to have Stingers and the Javelins, but they also need anti-aircraft capabilities. They need anti-missile capabilities. They need anti-tank capabilities. There's a lot of weapon systems, the weapons they need. We have to bring these weapons. We have the weapons they need. These weapon systems.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.